Technorama episode 291, Ohm, my aching motherboard.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Say, I'm looking for some Thanksgiving Day leftovers. Do you have a couple of turkeys?
Over there, in the media corner.
How appropriate.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama, the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time, this is our first time trying this out, you take a week off and we can't get this thing straight. If this is your first time joining us on Technorama, thank you very much. We appreciate you showing up. If you're a returning listener, viewer, watcher, loiterer, stalker, welcome back. We appreciate you.
We'll take any and all. We'll take it all.
I am Chuck Tomasi, and joining me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I still feel like I'm stuffed from Thanksgiving.
Portion control. You gotta love it. Thanksgiving in the U.S., it's the only day you can eat 4,000 calories and not be called a glutton.
That's right. Yeah. Portion control or lack thereof.
You know, my grandfather used to call that won't power. He said, it's not willpower. You got to be able to say, I won't eat that. I won't take more helpings. It's won't power.
I didn't have any of that. And none of that.
We have some listener feedback.
Letters.
Letters.
I'm actually happy to hear that song again.
Good letters. Yes, I am too. Reach right out and pull one out. The mailman.
Hey, by the way,
yes,
that ripping sound is actually the mailman's pants as he reaches into the bag.
The mailman will be represented in today's show by the doorbell.
Ding.
Today's feedback is brought to you by the letter K. We do not have any voicemail, but we do have email from, actually a Facebook message from Yorga. We were talking about where he's living. Remember, he was on the border of France and Belgium and wherever he was. He says, well, I'm back in Antwerp now. I no longer work at Google, so no need to live in the French-speaking part.
So well, thank goodness for that.
So thank you for the update, Yorga. You'll need to make sure we have your latest address so we can keep doing the postcard exchange. We look forward to doing that again in the future. We also got one from Doug Alex.
What was Yorga actually doing at Google? I'm not really sure what his job was.
Well, neither was I. Let us know, Yorga. What did you do for Google?
He was a janitor.
They said that I would be able to play my music at a reasonable level.
Yes, mime up. Mime up.
We have one from Doug Alex down under. So we've got one from Europe and we got one from Australia. This is awesome.
Hey, we're global, man.
We are. That's the cool thing about podcasts. You have a global community.
That's right.
Doug writes, a project for Technorama. We usually talk about the Ben Heck life hacks and all kinds of different hacks that you can put on different computers. I think we had Windows CE running on a smartwatch or something. I mean, we've had operating systems running on virtually everything of every branded sort. Well, here's a project for Technorama. How to install CPM on Windows.
Okay.
That would be intriguing. The first computer my dad got was a CPM machine. Hey, we have something in common. He used to keep a database for the local Baptist church on it.
Really?
Yeah. We used to run our scuba diving charter business on ours, sending out all the mailings and keeping the database and the scheduling. It was awesome in 80 character mode.
You know, there was CPM for the Commodore 64, but I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I ever installed it or used it.
It's like proto DOS.
No. Let me back up. I've seen it before. I've seen CPM before.
Yeah.
I just remember thinking, but I've never really used it. And I know that it was available for the Commodore 64. I remember seeing documentation around for it, but I never actually saw it running on a 64. But, anywhere.
You must have
thought, you ever really use it?
Yeah. Did I ever use it? Oh, yeah. I used it all the time. Yeah. Okay. I hooked up a 1200 baud modem, and that was my primary vehicle for calling bulletin boards for about a year and a half.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Used the pip command, and then, we downloaded a dialing program, and I can't remember what it is. I'll have to think about it. But yeah, that's the K-Pro that we took apart about a year and a half ago. That was the machine.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Somewhere I must have recycled the modem, but it was a Mygent pocket modem, 1200 baud, and it was kind of cool because it was all self-contained. And the reason it was called pocket modem because it would fit in your shirt pocket. Had a 9-volt battery built in, or you could use the optional DC volt, the 12-volt DC converter, AC adapter.
Right.
And it plugged directly into the DB25 serial port on your machine. So you didn't need any serial cables. And it was nice. It was a little compact deal for an external modem. It did all right. Max. Yeah. That's what the dialing program was. Max. We used
Max.
M-E-X. It was the modem executive program.
Not like Tex-Mex.
No. Well, kind of. Let's do the history thing, shall we?
Sure. I would say we were already doing the history thing.
On this day in history for November 30th, 2016. Remember, live viewers, this is recorded on Sunday night, but the show goes out Wednesday-ish. This is the 334th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 31 days remaining in 2016. For it was on this date in 3340 BC. What? Okay. That we find the earliest believed record of an eclipse. I think that's our oldest event yet.
Either that or you got another date bug in your
code. I thought there was.
That same date in 1803, in New Orleans, Spanish representatives officially transfer the Louisiana Territory to a French representative. Just 20 days later, France transfers the same land to the United States as a Louisiana purchase.
They flipped this house good in 20 days. Everybody in the U.S. knows from the history class about the Louisiana purchase, but I didn't realize that they only owned it for 20 days. They bought it from Spain and just flipped it.
Yeah, that is funny.
Wow. Wonder what sort of profit they made on that. It was November 30th, 1829, that the first Welland Canal opens for a trial run. What is that, the demo version? 5 years to the day from groundbreaking.
That's right. It was on this date in 1934, the LNER class A3-4472 Flying Scotsman, becomes the first steam locomotive to be authenticated as reaching 100 miles per hour. And Marty and the doc were very happy about that.
The Flying Scotsman. 34 years ago today is when Michael Jackson's second solo album, Thriller, is released worldwide. It will become the best-selling record album in history.
Wow. And also in this date, in 1999, British Aerospace and Marconi Electronic Systems merge OSC to form BAE Systems, Europe's largest defense contractor and the fourth largest aerospace firm in the world.
My former job, they were a customer of ours. So, yes, I'm familiar with BAE. Happy birthday goes out of the state to Spanish captain and explorer Andres de Urdaneta. Well, we're going to be having...
Urdaneta.
Wait, there's more coming. Born in the state in 1498.
And Jonathan Swift. Whew, that was tough. The Irish satirist and essayist. Well, he's a lot of ifs. Was born 349 years ago today.
Oh, goody. I get this one. Polish physician, chemist, and biologist Jerzy Sniadecki was born 248 years ago today. I really apologize to all of my Polish friends that know that name.
I don't think he cares, though. It's 248 years ago. And the American businessman and politician founded the Winchester Repeating Arms Company. Oliver Winchester was born on this date in 1810.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Samuel Remington.
Yeah.
Also born 181 years ago today, American novelist, humorist, and critic Mark Twain.
Winston Churchill, the English colonel, journalist, politician, prime minister of the UK, United Kingdom. I was trying to read UK somewhere, United Kingdom. Nobel Prize laureate was born 142 years ago today.
I'm surprised they didn't throw singer, dancer, and reality TV show host in there. Man, he did a lot.
If he had been alive just a little longer, maybe.
American actor and singer. Here we go. Robert Guillaume is 89 today.
That's right. And born November 30th, 1929. American television host and producer, founded Dick Clark Productions. Dick Clark.
Dmitry Anosov, Russian mathematician and academic, was born on the same date in 1936.
English director, producer, production designer, Ridley Scott is 79 today.
Aliens.
Yeah.
Also turning 71 is Welsh bass player, songwriter, and producer Robert Glover.
And born on November 30th, 1930, or 1953, excuse me, the American singer and actress June Pointer.
So excited. Another singer-songwriter.
Point everywhere.
Billy Idol is 61 today.
An American actor, director, producer, and screenwriter, Ben Stiller, was born on this date in 1965.
Also turning 40 years old today is Italian astronomer Marta Bugay. Turning to our listener birthday calendar, we have November 25th is Lane Williams. I'm going to go back a little bit because we did miss a week here. Johnny is on the 26th. Brad P. from NJ on the 27th as we record this. Ben Sweetser, one of our coworkers and loyal listeners, is on the 28th. December 1st is Claudio Miranda. And Ben Frixell from the Mac Mania podcast is on December 2nd. Super Moon Man is December 6th. Love the name. If you want to get your name on the birthday calendar, hey, head over to chuckchat.com/wiki. Put your name on there. We'll give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. And do my ears deceive me? Is it one more verse? Okay, we got one more verse. I thought we were headed for that final one. So that's the way it is on this day in history for November 30th, 2016. Again, chuckchat.com/wiki if you want to get your... We'd love to give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. Here comes the music. Let's play it out. Do your best marching band impersonation.
Yeah, out the door. Bring it home. Finally. Good Lord.
Sorry, I had to throw in the Monty Python ending.
Thanks. Yeah, that's right.
What do we have? Good news? We have good news.
Good news, everyone!
The good news is that Mars is hiding a gigantic ice sheet that may help astronauts. See, this show isn't just full of silliness. We have actual news. Things that you may have missed.
So they can have their scotch neat. No.
What?
Neat without ice, right?
Where? Oh, the Martians. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yes. They can have scotch on the rocks now.
Neat is without. That's right. Never mind. Sorry.
As a rule, the truly large deposits of the ice on Mars are at the poles, right? Or the Czechs.
Sure.
Or the Slavs. Or never mind. No! Researchers using the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter's ground-penetrating radar have discovered that the planet's Utopia Planitia Basin... Hey, that's where the Enterprise is going to be built. Spoiler alert.
That's right. Yeah, originally. At some point.
That basin is hiding a thick 260 to 560 feet ice sheet larger than the state of New Mexico. It is at least 50% pure, too. Observers had long suspected that the area had water thanks to surface cracking and depressions. But the previous explorer, the Mars Odyssey spacecraft, couldn't study much deeper than the surface. Scientists tell the New York Times that the sheet likely accumulated as part of the Martian ice age, and was buried before it could melt into a lake or evaporate into space. Wow. That's interesting. I wonder where they came up with that hypotenuse. The findings are... The findings are important for an understanding of Mars' past. However, they could have a very practical role in the future. Spacefarers could establish a long-term settlement in a more convenient place than the poles, while knowing that they still have steady local supplies of drinking water and rocket fuel. That, in turn, could reduce supplies that astronauts have to carry to the Red Planet and make Mars exploration much more realistic, of course.
Now, how do you know that's drinkable?
If it's pure?
I guess it... Huh?
There's a lot of water in space, a lot of frozen water called ice.
I know. No, I was wondering, are we sure it's not contaminated or something? Or I guess
with
we
what?
Need to purify it, but...
With what?
I don't know. Who do I? What do I know? I'm just asking the questions.
Liquid methane? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. So, I don't know. I'm just thinking. Well, what is? Are we sure we can drink it?
The stuff that usually contaminates the water here on Earth is organic in nature, Craig. There's no organic there, so yeah, it's more than likely pure. Plus, they could set up distillation if they need to.
Oh, wait a minute.
What?
I think. What? I lost my train of thought. What,
and then we'll go on to the next story.
What contaminates water is not necessarily organic in nature. We do it. So
yeah. Chemically. They're not up there digging around and getting a whole bunch of mercury in the ice.
How do you know there's not mercury?
We're contaminating because we're disrupting the ecosphere. We're going digging, mining things and throwing the tailings in a lake and going, oh, whoops, that was a bad idea.
No, I'm just asking the question, are we sure you can drink it? Is that something you can rely on?
Sure.
Okay. That's all I need to know.
Because I said so. Now NASA can go drink it.
Yeah. That's right. That's all I need to know.
Technorama, the authority of nothing.
That's right.
We rely on our listeners, because when we say stuff like that and we're flying off the handle, when we start going without a net... We need our listeners to back us up and tell us what's right and what's wrong.
I know. So, and you know what's going to be funny?
What?
Is years from now, when they finally test that ice to see if it's pure or not, they're going to be like, hey, sorry, we have to backtrack. We can't rely on it. And then you'll be like, you're right, Craig.
No, I'm going to go, ha ha. Would you like the next story, sir?
I'm waiting on you to say that I'm right, Craig. Okay. All right. So. Japan throws down the gauntlet. I just love
dun, dun, dun.
With a plan for the world's fastest computer. And I also love
how
the image.
How fast is it?
It's about 2 gigahertz. All right. So I'm sorry. Officials in Japan have announced a plan. I'm sorry. I'm cracking myself up as I normally do. I'm going in and getting that out of the way on the show. Their plans to build the fastest supercomputer in a bid to reaffirm the country's place as a leader in the technological advancement. If all goes according to plan, the processing monster will cost $19.5 billion. I'm sorry, billion yen, excuse me, which is $173 million. That actually sounds like a pretty good deal. And will be capable of 130 quadrillion calculations per second.
That's a lot of calculations.
About that for a minute. That's right. It is a rare thing to be able to use the word quadrillion in a manner that isn't an exaggeration. Phrased another way, the planned supercomputer clocks in at 130 petaflops.
Aren't those the people who look at who are interested in kids?
You know, like Peter File.
Right. These are petaflops. They didn't do it right.
That's right. That's right. So with these, it's 130 petaflops, which would decidedly surpass the current fastest in the world, China's Sunway Tilight.
Go with Tilight, it.
Anyway, which maxes out at 93 petaflops. So Satoshi
Sekiguchi.
Yeah, Sekiguchi. Sounds Italian more like. Is the director of Japan's National Institute of Advanced Industrial Science and Technology, had an intriguing, humble way of saying that it will blow the competition out of the water. Humble. I like that. As far as we know, there is nothing out there this is this fast.
Take that, Watson.
Yeah, so which leaves the imagination to wonder about the secret hidden supercomputers plowing through data in hollowed out mountains. All right, I'll just leave it there.
I like that they call it a processing monster.
Yeah, I know.
It sounds like something nerds have hiding under their bed.
Yeah. So what kind of calculations would you be throwing at this thing? What would you imagine?
Artificial intelligence? Weather? Big data?
No, I would not throw AI at this thing.
Why not? Singularity time?
Well, you know what's kind of scary is, speaking of AI, and Google said they were working on, they're using their AI to do translations, right? I was just reading this other story about it, and they said that they could say, okay, we want you to translate from English to Japanese because the AI has, there's a common language in there. No, how'd that work? The computer knew whatever other language to Japanese, and it knew from English to Japanese. So it had it try and translate from English to the third language because it had a common denominator, Japanese, and it was able to do that. Then it started working out its own way to translate between two languages without the middle man, the middle language.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was like, oh crap, this thing's starting to think for itself and go, oh, I could, if I could do that, I could do this. I can do that.
I know what I'd apply this thing to.
No.
Fixing our video audio latency problem. Come on, Japan. Step up here.
Yeah, it only cost us $173 million to resolve that. Just blow the budget for Technorama.
Well,
I guess what weather pattern?
Weather forecasting would be a good one. Yep.
Yeah, weather, I guess any science, you could do all kinds of cool stuff. Hey, if you have a suggestion of what they could do with this cool supercomputer,
call the listener line.
We'll pass it along.
Well, we do need suggestions for another thing. You can call our listener line 707-530-2428. Oh, thank you, wonderful video engineer, for putting that up. That way I can just read it now. Or send us email, technorama@chuckchat.com.
By the way, to give them your suggestions, we may have to run it through that Google translator to get it Japanese.
Or to get it out of Technorama speak. Someone else needs your suggestions, and that's NASA. They are desperately looking to the public for what to do with astronaut poop. This is not a laughing matter. It is a very serious matter. In fact, they are ponying up some cash reward for it.
Poop is no laughing matter.
That's right. Except unless you use that little emoji icon, the poop emoji. No,
it's just kind of matter that just sits around. It doesn't really laugh or do anything.
We can put a man in space, but once he's there, NASA still has no idea to do with his poop. Here's where you come in. NASA will award $30,000 U.S. to whoever can solve their space poop problem. Astronaut Rick Mastracchio asks to imagine a scenario where your crew is on the way to the moon, and there's an emergency where the vehicle begins losing cabin pressure. Their crew will need to quickly put on spacesuits to protect themselves in the vacuum of space. I can tell you that space flight is not always glamorous, Mastracchio emphasizes. People need to go to the bathroom even in a spacecraft. How is this waste treated? And is it so that there's no harm to the astronaut or even kill them? Since the spaceship no longer provides that protection, the astronauts need a suit to provide the clean air, water, and shelter and enough nutrients for up to 6 days. Think about it. They're out at the moon. They still need to get back. It's not just like, because right now the space station is in low Earth orbit, like 250 miles above the surface of the Earth. They can get back in a few hours. But if you're out at the moon, you're days away from any help. So that suit has to keep you alive. And they said, well, we've got food and water, but we really don't know what to do with your excrement. So that's where they need you to determine how do they deal with pee or poop, because it can lead to things as serious as sepsis. It's really not a laughing matter when it comes to, oh crap, how do you deal with this?
Well, one thing I want a little clarification on. You started talking about the suit, and then it says, I can tell you, space flight is not glamorous. People need to go to the bathroom even in a spacecraft.
Yes.
So are they talking about pooping in the suit, or what to do with the poop in the spacecraft?
If the spacecraft has lost
atmosphere, you're going to have to live in that suit for 6 days. So what do you do with everything else? It's not like you can make a little trap door. Right now, the short-term solution is adult diapers, but those are good for about 8 hours, not 8 days. So they really need a way to deal with this. And it's got more far-reaching effects. If you watch the video that they enclose in the article, if you go through our show notes, he says it could be used in medical as well. Think about treating coma patients or something. How do you move the waste away from the patient and treat it? So it's got other, you know, it's a lot like when we were growing up, you know, a lot of stuff that was built for the space program made its way into our day-to-day lives.
Like Tang.
Like Tang. And Velcro. Velcro's a good one. Can't live without Velcro.
I was going to say, Velcro is probably a pretty good one.
It's all over the studio. It's holding up my webcam right now.
All right. So they're talking about removing poop from you in a spacesuit.
Yeah. What do you do with it? And keep in mind that these spacesuits are very confined spaces. It's not like you can keep an extra 20 pounds hanging around you.
I got it.
What?
What they need to do is have a little port back there, and you attach a bag, you poop, you undo the bag, and then you throw it out in space. So it's kind of like what I do with my cat boxes. I scoop them into the grocery store bags and use those to throw away the cat
thing. But you've got no atmosphere.
Right. So what if you had a port on the back, you attach the bag to it?
Let me, I don't want to get into all of the...
No, let's get into the minutia.
Okay, you want to? There are female biological issues you need to be aware of as well. I'm just going to leave it at that. Huh. Okay.
Okay.
You're a married man. Figure it out. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more Hacks and Strange Stories and some stuff in the media corner that we want to talk to you about. This show just keeps getting better. Hang around.
Why do you cut me short when I'm trying to have an important conversation here?
Helping to build the career you deserve. Take control of your career by listening to Career Opportunities, a twice-weekly podcast covering the challenges of building a career in the 21st century. Visit WelchWrite.com, WelchWrite.com. There you can explore over 300 shows, including exclusive interviews with workers, managers, and experts of all sorts. Subscribe to Career Opportunities today. It's free and you'll receive each new show automatically. Visit WelchWrite.com and start building the career you deserve today.
Hi, this is Brian from Coverville, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig from Technorama.
You know, Donna had that graphic on the screen that says, it's got an old iPod, and it says 3 minutes and 41 seconds elapsed, 1 minute and 20 seconds left to go. When did we ever have a show that was like 5 minutes?
Right. Who knows?
I think in the early days, we were lucky to constrain this thing to 20.
Hey, by the way, I was on the wrong... I don't know how Facebook does this, but I pulled up the live video so I could watch the chat.
Yes.
And I saw nobody commenting. I was like, wow, you know, okay. So, yeah, something's up.
Why would that surprise you?
I was thinking, wow, that's par for the course. No. So I went, opened it up on our Facebook page at Technorama Podcast, and lo and behold, there's comments on there. So, John Miller was laughing at my cat box comment. He also said, cancel the trip. Get your butt back to Earth.
I kind of like Clinton's. He said, put it on the porch of the lemon, light it on fire. Ding dong ditch in space.
Well, actually, we were asking what to do with it. I kept thinking, put it in little paper bags and send it down to Earth, and we'll be sending flaming poop bags.
Well, it'll burn up in the atmosphere, so that's okay, right?
Right.
All right, speaking of burning up, we have an article in the Hacks and Strange Stories. Oh, we'll play the Hacks and Strange Stories thing. Hacks and Strange Stories! Someday we're going to get Lenny in the studio. Customized e-cigarette explodes in men's pants again. These are the silly stories now. We've gone through the real news. Yeah. This is where it takes a turn off the cliff. Using e-cigarettes is a great way to stop smoking, but lately the futuristic products have become a different kind of health hazard. Yesterday, a man at Grand Central Terminal in New York suffered burns after an e-cigarette exploded in his pants. The security video of the incident is remarkably similar to an e-cigarette explosion caught on tape earlier this month. Otis Gooding, an employee at Central Cellars in New York, was standing behind the counter of a Grand Central Terminal wine shop. Why was he behind the counter?
He was employee.
When his e-cigarette exploded, Gooding suffered third-degree burns in the incident after frantically trying to remove the device from his pants. Ouch and ouch.
Yeah.
Quote, unfortunately, there's nothing we could do but call the police, one of Gooding's co-workers told CNN. Otis ran water on himself till the paramedics came. I was traumatized to see someone hurt that way. Ooh, yeah, that would be nasty. It looks like fireworks going off behind the counter. They've got various angles of the security camera.
Actually, I watched the video.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to keep going.
I watched the video, and it looks like he lit. I mean, I know his hands are on the counter as he's listening to his coworkers. He didn't do this intentionally, of course, but it looked like somebody had lit firecrackers in his pocket.
It looks like, a Roman candle went off. This is nasty stuff.
And it's not just him, but, I mean, I feel bad that he got burned. I mean, but to see everything.
Well, the thing is, this isn't like a Samsung Galaxy Note 7. No, because those are defective from the factory. This one was modded.
Right. Oh, yeah. I see where you're going.
Okay, the coworker noted the device had been customized to deliver more juice by upping the voltage. It's unclear what kind of vaping rig the man had been customizing. Quote, I've never seen one that has so much power. It's aftermarket customized so you can change the voltage for high performances, the coworker said. If you're going to customize your e-cigarette by tinkering with the voltage, it might be a good idea to keep it out of your pants. Or, not tinker with the voltage in the first place.
Maybe this is your sign to stop smoking altogether.
So, like they said, cigarette smoking is hazardous to your health.
Yeah, well, so is vaping, I guess. But it's terrible. I mean, I understand that he modded it, and it's really his own doing. But look, he put all those people. What if it happened on a subway?
Exactly. Or a plane.
Plane. Well, they're not even happy with those on a plane, much less one exploding in your pants.
Exactly.
No, that's terrible. I'm sorry to get burned. But
all right.
Hey,
from fire to water.
Maybe you shouldn't be doing that.
I'm trying to stitch these stories together tonight. We're going from fire to water. A man found an iPhone 4 at the bottom of a lake, and it still works. Michael Guntram on March 7, 2015, put on Facebook, lost my phone today, so if you want me to have your number, send it to me. Long story short, I was ice fishing plus hole in ice equals ice phone at the bottom of the lake. I love this guy's narrative because it sounds so apropos to the story. Quote, we were having negative 25 degree weather, so me and two buddies went ice fishing, Guntram told BuzzFeed News. We were sitting in our our portable shanty.
It was a beta version.
I'm trying to read around the video camera, all right? We were sitting in our portable shanty, and I got a bite on my rod. Call your doctor. I laid the phone on my lap, and it slipped off, and instead of landing flat in the snow, it hit its edge and rolled into the hole. I caught the fish. It was a bluegill, but it wasn't worth it. I love that little detail about what kind of fish it was.
Yeah.
Normally, losing your phone at the bottom of the icy lake would be the end of this story, but there's more. Kyle Lake, where Guntram was fishing, ended up being drained in September of 2015. He lost this in March, 6 months earlier. It was drained because of a structural deficiency in its dam, and then someone found the phone. Mm-hmm. Daniel Colgren, mechanical engineer who lives in western Pennsylvania, told BuzzFeed News that he was treasure hunting with his metal detector in the empty lake basin this October when he found Guntram's iPhone under 6 inches of muck. He was there, quote, to find what people had dropped off their boats, he said. I took the phone home, cleaned it, and put it in rice, which you can use as a desiccant to dry it out, and just out of curiosity tried to see if it would work. After 2 days, it turned on. Ooh. It was the only thing I found that day, and I was able to turn it on and look up and see his number. He knows I have it now, and I'm going to mail it to him, Colgren told BuzzFeed News. When Colgren fold Guntram, when, hell, these names are killing me.
I would trade him the fish for the iPhone.
Yeah, can I have the bluegill? So part of the reason why it was alive was because he had a very sturdy OtterBox on there. And right now he's got an iPhone 6S and keeps it in a life-proof case. He said, well, my mother needs a phone, a smartphone, so I think I'll give her the one that fell in the lake. So interesting.
I don't know. Look at it. Hey, I will say, based on the picture,
yeah,
that actually it looks in great shape.
It does. It's still a little muddy in spots where it was exposed to the elements, but
or
otherwise, yeah, not too bad.
Yeah, I was very surprised that it looked so well.
I don't know. A year and a half later, I couldn't find a 40-pin connector.
Yeah. Stupid Apple discontinued them. No, but that is pretty cool. And I'm sure if I was OtterBox, I'd be playing that one up too.
Oh, heck yeah. And the representatives from Apple say, we get some great stories, but this one's one of the better ones about survival stories.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you really want to take your phone...
What is up, guys?
Sorry, that was beginning to play what? The phone. If you really want to take your phone destruction to the next level, I don't know why people are compelled to do this with the latest technology, but blowing things up, smashing them, seeing what kind of stress they'll take. This gentleman put his in hydrochloric acid, or it was sulfuric acid. I can't remember which. It was.
It's neither. It's a
antimony
acid. Whatever you said.
I didn't say it that well, but.
Well, I watched the video, and he says that it's even more powerful than the aforementioned acids you mentioned.
Okay.
So, he put it in there. What's funny is he forgot to take off the plastic wrapping, you know, when you open up a new phone or device.
Oh, like the screen scratch plastic?
Well, yeah.
It's wrapped. It's all wrapped up in plastic. You're right.
Yeah, yeah. You peel it off.
Yep.
He forgot to pull it off, and so it kind of froze. He was able to pull it later. He pulled that off and put it back in the thing. It still worked amazingly. I was expecting it to kind of, you got to watch it.
The video is about 7 minutes long. And
wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm confusing it with, I saw another video from the same guy where he put it in liquid nitrogen.
Oh, okay. No, that's a totally different extreme.
Yeah. I'm sorry. But he forgot to take the wrapper off and it was freezing. And,
gotcha.
But it's still coming back. This was interesting because this acid was like a crystallized in the, it was not crystallized, but it was just crystal based.
Yeah.
And had a little liquid in the bottle, but he poured it out and let the crystal sit on the back, and you could see where it was overnight, it was corroding the back of the phone. It was interesting.
So it's been 3 days. He's got 4.2 million views on this video. It did make a nice kind of etching pattern on the back.
It did. And I think, surprisingly, the phone more or less survived.
Yeah, he said he was able to take it out, wipe it off, power it up, and away we went. Maybe you can sell a new case style. It's very stylish. Yeah. It's like acid wash jeans.
Right. That's exactly how they do acid wash jeans too.
They dump them in a bucket of acid.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't understand why people do these with the phones. I guess because you get that many views and that many subscribers to your YouTube channel. But I looked over to the side as I was watching this video and some other videos from his channel. One was, what happens if you pour molten gold on your iPhone 7? And then there was, then he's putting a Galaxy Note 7 into a toaster oven.
I watched the golf bloopers one. I thought it was funnier.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
We have one more story about a little chubby robot that goes rogue in China. This robot looks like someone.
Looks like a minion.
It looks like someone stuffed a Cabbage Patch doll into a canister of some type.
Actually, I was thinking it looked more like a minion shoved into an R2-D2 ripoff costume.
We'll get the image up there in just a second. We're having technical difficulties just off camera. I'll read the story. At a recent trade show in China, a Xiaopeng, or little chubby robot, went rogue and ran into a glass exhibit stand, injuring a bystander with shards of glass. Great. So now they know glass can hurt us.
Hey, see? They tried to put AI in there and see what happened?
Right. In a statement posted on its site, the manufacturer apologized for the incident and explained to a staff member was trying to move the robot aside when he accidentally pressed the key to move back, not forward. Ooh. Someone photoshopped a great little SpongeBob face or something inside of that thing. Just all of a sudden it looks like... The robot rolled away from its grasp, and he could not stop it in time, the company said. Xiaopeng has sensors to stop it from bumping into obstacles for regular use, but that function was disabled, of course it was, when its control panel is open. Uh-huh. So basically it was a user error. And
it looks kind of sad at the top, like, what have I done?
That's what the company would like you to believe, but it's after doing a little digging around, tongue-in-cheek here, we found that the robot's parent company is none other than Tenix. And Tenix, spelled backwards, is Skynet.
Skynet.
No.
No.
I don't think so.
Look, the show is coming full circle.
Right.
We got a supercomputer coming up in Japan. Now right. We got robots. Second, they're going to work together, I'm sure.
And they're mad that you keep dumping the phones in acid.
Right.
We're in trouble.
Oh, put the humans in this acid.
All right. We do this show on Sunday nights. We want to see you here. We try to be on a schedule as possible. 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. We go to the Facebook Live thing. We're going to put this on YouTube as an archive. You can follow the links and get that there. Thank you for everybody who joined us. We currently have a handful of people out there. We've got Mike Wills, we've got John Miller Jr., Clinton Alvord was here, we had, I saw Tim Elliott a little while before, who else has been popping in and out of here? Scott Tyler was here, hello boys, he says. A lot of people joining us on Sunday night, be part of the silliness and stick your live comments in there, we'd love to see you. Or you can subscribe to our page and get notified automatically, go to Facebook.com/Technorama Podcast, we'd love to see you there. I think I said that like 8 times now. Join us live on the chat. We also want to thank our patrons. That means we got to have the patron music. No, that's not the patron music. It's the last icon. Let's abort that. Try that again. There we go. Our patrons have cooler music. Because this show is brought to you by you. Thank you to our 13 current patrons. We want to get more sign up for this. Not just because it means more money and more funding for the show. But it also means more gifts for you. Many of our patrons have received... additional things that weren't even in the package. We just love you so much. Kyle Nishioka, Mike Will, Steve Therian, Saturday Morning Media, Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Ben Vaughn, Dennis Patnod, Nick St. Gabriel, Amy Bowen, Avner Braverman, Leon, and John Noble. It's not Leon Noble and John Noble. Leon is just his first name. He's so famous, he goes by his first name.
That's so right.
Thank you very much to each and every one of you. You guys are awesome. Because many of these people have been caring, feeding this podcast for many years and continue to do so. Thank you very much. In return, they get special content that is available to no one else on the planet. Special RSS feed just for our patrons. And for Christmas, we sent them books. So if you are still interested in getting a book, get us your email address and we'll get in touch with you and send you a book.
So if you want to lay blame to why we've been podcasting for so long,
it's people like this.
Hey, send us another donation, a larger one, and we'll give you the names to all our patrons.
You know, I just had an offshoot thought.
What's that?
Remember years ago, the news this past weekend was that Fidel Castro passed away.
Right? Yes.
He was like leader of Cuba for 50 years, then turned it over to his brother, Raul. And T. Morris did that thing where he was impersonating Fidel. He did a promo for Victor's Typical Mac User podcast.
Yes, 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 yes.
I almost played that today, but then I realized there is no more Typical Mac User podcast.
I know, right?
Darn it. No, we have to retire yet another promo. So yes. If you want to,
and just hey, wait a minute, I do want to throw out there though that I saw today, and I haven't listened to it yet. Victor is participating in another podcast.
Really?
Yeah. So I need to look it up. I had a note to myself to go follow up on that. But
and speaking of our other friends in tech, Douglas E. Welch was interviewed by Grant Pachoco on 15 Minutes With.
Yes, I also saw that too.
Cool. I'm partway done listening to that. Then the plane landed and we had to go take care of the rest of our trip. So jumping back a little bit, if you want to be one of our support people on our show, we would love it immensely and give you a shout out each week and send you books and special content and whatnot. Just head over to patreon.com/technoramapodcast or click the link in the show notes or on our website. There's many, many ways you can find us. And now it's time to go to the media corner. We have just a couple more stories before we run this ship into the into the flaming sun. I gotta find the darn thing. Media corner. There it is.
Where they find us years later in the bottom of a lake.
Welcome to Blockhead.
Beneath six inches of muck.
Some good information about music and TV and videos and things. Over here in the media corner.
You know, that'd actually be a good way to die, buried in mud, because then you get fossilized.
Sure. All right, and this then is Panorama can live on forever.
No, I'm just talking about my bones.
Oh, you. Okay.
All right. You got to hear this. This is a metal cover of Next Generation / First Contact done by Metal Shield Symphonic. This is available on YouTube. If you go to our show notes, you can follow it through to the YouTube link or just look up Star Trek Next Generation First Contact metal cover.
This is the theme for the Star Trek Discovery coming up.
Oh, that would be cool. All right. I'll give you a little bit of the beginning.
Fire! Fire!
Pretty cool. All right. I'm going to zip ahead a little bit.
Okay. It'll be really cool.
What?
The guy was dressed up as like Data while he was playing the guitar.
Data with long hair. Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time I hear this, I think of our Vernon Wilmer.
Yeah. Or the Mirror Universe.
No, our ID that we got from Vernon Wilmer.
Yeah, no, we used the music from like the Enterprise.
Yes.
Mirror Universe thing.
No, that was from First Contact. Okay. There's.
Oh, there's I'm
a,
sorry.
Oh, right. This is kind of cool too, because then he takes out the acoustic. I got to back up just a little bit for that one. Where is it? Oh, here we go. This guy's talented.
Yeah, it's good.
6 minutes and 38 seconds of pure metal entertainment. All right. I will fade that out. So that's go cool. Over and have a listen. It is pretty good. I'm going to probably
go over there and give my thumbs up.
Yes, like we did. Okay. And Craig, as a reminder, December 16th is what?
Star Wars Rogue One.
You know, I'm waiting for 1.0 to 1.1 to come out.
1.1.
Give him a chance to get the bugs out. I'm not going to subscribe to Rogue One first day.
I'll tell you what. I was kind of excited about it before, and now that I've actually seen some footage, like in the trailers, up to the last trailer, I'm really excited about this. I think this looks great. I'm hoping that the story holds up, you know, for the movie, but it looks like it's gonna be awesome, especially when you see Darth Vader walking around in that trailer. It's like, oh yeah, I want to see it. I've got to see this. This is gonna be awesome.
Craig's gonna revert back to his childhood again.
Yeah, just like an hour ago.
Just
an hour before that. I live in my childhood.
Perpetually a 12-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, are you interested in it? I'm sure
I am. Actually, I think I was 12. You were younger than that when Star Wars originally came out. Speaking of Star Wars, long lost Star Wars memories, we were having Thanksgiving dinner this past week at my mother-in-law's in Marquette, Michigan. And all of a sudden I noticed Star Wars Dixie cups on the table. I went, wow, these look really retro. They weren't retro. They were original. They have a copyright date on the bottom, 1980, and they have little. They have the picture, and then they'll have a description on the other side, like, "This is Tusken Raiders, also known as Sandman. This is Grand Moff Tarkin. He's like the manager of the Death Star." I forgot what they said. He was.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty cool. Did you look it up on eBay?
They were kind of yellowed. Most of them were still in the box. And Donna says, "Oh, we were just using those to clean out paintbrushes." I went, "No!"
What? Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Oh wait, Donna's right behind you. I better watch what I say.
A lot of fun and reminiscing. I keep pulling these out, you know, reading about R2-D2 and how he can only talk in bleeps and electronic tones. They had to explain everything in case you missed the movie.
Hey, here you go. Check this out. Here's two boxes of Star Wars Dixie Cups on eBay.
Yes.
$40. Price is $40.
For two boxes. And we had about half a box. So, $10. Nah.
Nah, I'd be cooler to keep them. Hey, next time you have friends over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do shots out of the Star Wars Dixie Cups.
As long as it's 40-year-old scotch, sure.
I just say, hey, here's some scotch. Hey, Michael, how'd you like some scotch? Sure.
Whatever you're drinking, the cup has to be as old.
Right.
All right. That cool. Takes us to the end of the show. We have a question this week. What's on your Christmas wish list this year? We want to know. Let us know.
Not that we're buying for everybody. Just
we're curious.
Curious.
We'll reveal ours in a little bit. I'm not going to show our hand yet. But if you want to get in touch with us, let us know what's on your Christmas wish list. 707-530-CHAT. That's 707-530-2428. We want to hear from you.
Hey,
Craig has joined us on the chat, on the live show.
I want a spacesuit for which I can poop in.
Spacesuit with a poop shoot. That's on Craigslist.
You put it like that, it sounds silly.
Okay. It's a serious problem that NASA is trying to solve.
Okay.
You can email us too, technorama@chuckchat.com. We'd love to hear from you. We get that. You can also find us on the social webs. You know what? We should probably be playing that song. That's, whoa, what did I do? Turn it up. Turn it up. There we go. The show is ending. This is our ending music. You can find us on the social webs or Facebook or Twitter. Just search for Technorama Podcast. Links are in the show notes and on our website, chuckchat.com. Join us, patrons. We love you. You can also write us a review or just like us on the iTunes Music Store. I think it's been years since anyone did that. There might be a reason why. We're not sure.
Does anybody like things on the
iTunes Store anymore? Yes, they do. And it actually does work. It helps boost you up in the rankings.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, please do it.
There's a purpose. We'd love it. So, with 20 seconds left to go, we want to tell you about... Join us, watch us live. Thank you to those who did. Tell a friend about Technorama and give me a binary high five.
101!
You know, we can
good night, everybody.
We can make a rap out of that. Come and watch us live and give me a binary high five.
101, yo!